Welcome to this episode of Surf Sessions. We're really excited today to have Jennifer Sills, the founder and president of the CSNK2A1 Foundation, as our guest. Jennifer, thank you for giving us your time today.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And wow, I'm so impressed because most people not in the science world did not say CSNK2A1 Foundation as well as you just did. So,
well, thank you.
Well done. I know it's a mouthful. And sort of gives you a little taste of what it was like when we were first receiving a diagnosis. So I am, as you mentioned, Jennifer Sills, the founder and president of the CSNK2A1 Foundation, and so happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, we're really excited to talk to you, especially to dig into this world of board management from the perspective of a nonprofit. You know, I think so often when we talk about board management, we're talking about things at a more corporate level, organizations or startups that have just a kind of different function. But, you know, really learning to build and run a nonprofit from the ground up, I am sure you have so much wisdom to share from that experience.
That's kind. I always call my first year as running my nonprofit the year of YouTube. Because I had to learn how to do everything from scratch.
Yeah, and we're going to dig into that, especially from the perspective of board management. But before we talk about that, I want to give you a chance to just kind of like take us back to the beginning. And you know, I'm really curious to hear like how you came to start this foundation, and a little bit about what your organization does.
Thank you. Yes, so I was an attorney, and when my husband and I had our firstborn child, you know, she was born 10 fingers, 10 toes, you know, you breathe a sigh of relief, and little did we know that you can have kind of genetic mutations lurking that can kind of change your life forever. And she wasn't reaching her milestones and wasn't developing normally, and we discovered that she was the sixth in the world, actually, to have a rare genetic mutation on the CSNK2A1 gene, hence the name of the foundation, that causes a neurodevelopmental condition called Okerchung neurodevelopmental syndrome, another mouthful. And so at the time when we received the diagnosis, it was, you know, where do we go from here? What information is out there? And there was just a single publication that had been published with five other families around the world that had the same mutation. But that was it. There was nothing else. And as I sat down to read it, I was an English major at Berkeley. And so I'm like, how hard could this be, you know? And I had to look up every other word. My parents were totally right. My English degree was worthless, particularly in this instance. And at that moment, I knew that we had to do better. We had to have information out there where people could easily understand the diagnosis and kind of know how to go from there. And so I called the lead author on the paper, who was Dr. Wendy Chung at Columbia University. And I had two pages of notes of, you know, what do we do from here? I wanted to learn more. And we got through four of my questions. And she kind of stopped me and said, listen, no one's going to study this unless you start a foundation, fund basic research, find more families around the world, host an in-person conference, and make animal models. I didn't even know really what that was at the time. And I said, you know, I can do this. I can't do the research, but I can bring people together. And so then we launched the CSNK2A1 Foundation. I know that the name is really hard for people, but we figure it's one of the first things that you see on a genetic report, and also scientists know it. And so we wanted for families to be able to easily find us. You know, as you're starting out, you have to think about all the things, you know, what's your name going to be? Who are going to be your trusted advisors? You have to file all the paperwork. And one of that, obviously, of course, is choosing your board. And I did a lot of research. I met with 35 different organizations, young to old, you know, big to large, to figure out sort of what they learned in their experience. And what I kind of learned was that if you just filled the organization, the board with just parents, that wasn't enough, that you really needed to fill your board and be really strategic about it in order to meet your goals that you had for your organization. And so we set out to build an 8-person board where we would go out and search for people who are experts in their areas that we really needed in order to catapult us forward and meet our sort of first 3-year goals.
Yeah, and that's something I really want to dig into. I think, not only I'm sure is starting a nonprofit just completely overwhelming in terms of every decision you have to make, whether it's the name or, how you're going to function as an organization. But I think even just figuring out how to build a board for the first time is something that a lot of people don't know how to do. It's not something anyone ever teaches you how to do. And I think a lot of people really struggle to understand, like, how do I go about this? How do I find the right people? How do I find people who are going to be willing to invest their time in this? I'm kind of curious to hear, how you went about that recruitment process, and were there specific skills or areas of expertise that you knew from the beginning that you were really looking for?
There were skills that we were looking for. We were looking for someone maybe that had expertise in VC, healthcare space, an attorney, which I happen to be an attorney, someone with fundraising expertise, someone with operational expertise, someone kind of in finance as well. So we kind of came up with this sort of a list of 8, and each of them, and we had someone that was either in accounting or And it turns out that we have a forensic accountant that works for us. So that was the first step, right? Is kind of creating this wish list. And then from there, because this is, obviously, when you start a nonprofit, obviously, it's something that you're incredibly passionate about. And also, too, potentially saving your child's life in this instance. And so you really want to find individuals who are trusted, and in this instance, we wanted people that we knew already. So we didn't do kind of a blanket board search because it just seemed too intimate at this point to be able to do that. And so we sort of went from our inner circle out, sort of asking, was there anyone that we knew in our working space together with than anyone that they knew? So at least we had some kind of touch points. And that's how we went about. And to be honest, what we did at first was is that since we are a new nonprofit, we didn't want kind of sometimes there's also the fundraising component, is that for the first 3 years that they weren't asked for a large fundraising component of it all. But it just turned out that actually they're a super board. And so I want to say after the first 3 years, we had raised $1 million, which for a small rare disease that only started with 6 patients in the world. That they are superstars
Yeah, that's
at
amazing.
doing that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that's something a lot of nonprofits struggle to navigate. Is there a fundraising requirement? Is there not? Obviously it tends to be the case that people who volunteer to be on nonprofit boards also are very passionate about, whatever community you're serving. But I mean, that's amazing that you were able to do that. And I really like that idea of saying, like, okay, for the first 3 years, there's no expectation here, instead of sort of leading with that from the jump.
Yeah, I mean, that worked. It did work well for us. But I will say that we really didn't know, we didn't really know how to utilize our board to the best of the ability. So even though we did have this idea of like these different criteria and we did go to them when we needed their expertise, we didn't know how to use them frequently to the best of their ability and our ability, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And, I think as we now just finished our 5th year, and at kind of at the 3.5 year mark, it became very clear that something we never thought possible because we only raised 96,000 our first year. We never thought it was possible that we would ever hire a full-time employee. And so we were getting ready to launch a search for a full-time science director. So even though I work full-time, I work for free. So this would be our first paid full-time employee. And as we were doing that, we realized we've been working so hard and so furiously fast to get our 3-year goals met, finding more patients, funding basic research, hosting in-person conferences, getting blood samples from families so we could accelerate research, that we didn't really have much time to kind of button up the back end, to like put a bow on all of the projects that we were doing, and really take a beat as. Because the moment we finished something, we were going off into the next one. And as we were bringing on a full-time employee and kind of thinking about succession planning of the organization, we realized that we kind of needed to figure out how to do things better and smarter, if that makes sense, and really start to utilize our board more.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense, and I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with. You are so busy every day in the trenches just trying to get things done for your organization, and your board is there to facilitate that and support that and lend their expertise, but there's also a component of like managing your board that is also work. And finding the balance of that, like how autonomously is your board able to work? How do you set them up to be able to work more autonomously so it doesn't, just eat into your time, but you're still keeping them in the loop. They know where to focus their time and attention. All of that is like a huge learning process to figure out what's the best way we can do this, or even, what's the next best way we can do this. And I think, yeah, I think that's an inevitable learning curve going from, just starting out and having a board for the first time to really figuring out, like, okay, we're kind of in a rhythm here. Now what? Now how do we improve this? I'm curious to hear if there was any, particular moment where you were like, okay, now we can, maybe this is the moment to take a step back and dig into some of these things and figure out how do we do this differently.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think it was sort of that like 3.5 year mark when I realized that so much was in my brain or just in this random email trail that you'd have to like go back and search to really find where information was, that we needed to go back and just create kind of standard operating procedures for certain tasks that we had. And then create lists, who are all the researchers that were in contact all over the world, not just my like last email that I sent and everyone that's on that is who we're in contact with. And so that's kind of when that happened. And at that point too, we didn't have anyone on the board that had real operations experience. And so this past year we brought on a woman named Jamie Miller who ran kind of logistics and operations for Amazon for a long time. And so she came on to really help us look at kind of OKRs, and we really never had that in the past. We had goals, and things that we were striving to, right? That all the organizations or any business, what is your first kind of starting up, but really kind of taking a hard look at what are we doing? What are our goals going forward? Now that we do have kind of a cushion of funding, and we're bringing on this new full-time employee. And as we were doing that, we realized we don't even have a data room really for our new board members that are coming on, where they can see our bylaws and important documents. We were having difficulty keeping up with a newsletter. That to also inform them if that made sense, if we had any requests from them, everything, as I said, was just kind of done via email and really hard to keep track of. And so, as we were doing that, and kind of looking also at AI solutions for different things in our foundation, we then came across Surfboard, which, to be honest, I had always heard that any kind of board management software was like $850,000 a year, right? Something astronomical, not even within our wheelhouse, not even close. But when I saw this and all its capabilities, honestly, I was like, this could be a game changer for our organization because we truly always are looking at in parallel, almost, it's amazing. We do things like all the foundations do, but at the same time, we're not looking to reinvent the wheel. We're looking at innovation, not only innovation in the science space, an innovation in how we can run this as a better organization.
Yeah, and I mean, very excited to hear that, Surfboard sort of filled that niche. And you're right, there are so many of the board management platforms that are just astronomically expensive. And really, it's frustrating because, startups, nonprofits, companies with these tighter budgets like also would really benefit from it. So very like we're really glad that you found us. I would love to hear a little bit about, some of the ways that you've been using Surfboard to change your processes, simplify things, whatever tools you think have been useful so far.
Yeah, I mean, I know that that kind of it is. We only have 3 meetings a year, and so that capability and kind of the whole meeting aspect of it is amazing. But it actually wasn't the selling point for me. It was all the other things. So, like I mentioned, that we never really had I mean, of course, we had a Google Doc or Google Doc file with all our things in there, but really a place where people could really comment and everyone was going to the same space. And so I love, we use the data room, the voting capabilities, just keeping track. What a nightmare, to be honest, of a nonprofit. It's like this labor intensive process of just getting our board budget, the budget for the foundation approved, and the fact that it keeps track of it right on there, that I know who's done it, who hasn't, and I can. You've already created I just push a button and it sends a friendly reminder to someone. I don't have to craft an email and then have another checkbox somewhere else on another Google sheet of what, who's approved this budget. We use it also because we're looking for interns, of course, a lot, because we don't have a lot of money. And so we're always looking to see. So we use it to make asks of our board. So we'll send them an email saying we're looking to hire. Or we're looking to potentially, we don't need to call a board meeting for this, but this is coming up. What is your opinion on it? So we can easily send them an email and keep track of what everyone has said. The fact that it culls our social media platform to actually create a newsletter for us is incredibly helpful to keep up with, keep our board up to date together with, since we have these nifty OKRs now finally for our organization, that we keep them right on Surfboard, and we can notify our board if we're on target, if we're not, how they can help. And so it's really been amazing to professionalize our nonprofit board in a way, to be honest, wasn't accessible to us before.
Yeah, I mean, love to hear all the different things that you're using, and it's great. It's always great to know that it is actually doing what we want it to be doing, which is to make your life easier, help you get things done more efficiently, and have some really positive outcomes of that, whether it's like recruiting interns or just getting help from your board. So that's great. We love to hear that. I'm curious to know how your board has responded. Has it also been something that they have been excited to use? Has there been a learning curve there?
They love it. I mean, these are actually our board happens to be made up of all professional women, and every single one of them, I think, has said the boards that they're on, they want to bring it back to them. They've been looking for something similar, and for them too. I think, particularly when you get into the nonprofit space, sometimes maybe your board only works as hard as they think that it's sort of tailored for them, if that makes sense. And I think this really shows that we've invested in making this process better and easier, and that we're not wasting their time, you know?
Yeah, there's a huge amount of that expectation building with board management where, yeah, if people think like, okay, we're only going to talk at, our 3 meetings per year, they're going to tune out the rest of the time versus like, oh, the expectation is that, there are things I need to be doing. This is really organized. I'm clear on what the expectations of me are, and I'm clear on how to follow up with that.
Yeah.
I think that is like half, or if not more, of the battle of just getting your board to stay engaged.
Absolutely. So true.
I'm curious if there's, I think one thing that is almost a universal, but not, some people have really engaged boards, which is fantastic, but I think a common struggle for a lot of nonprofits is just keeping board engagement high. I think a lot of people struggle with that. I'm curious if you've had any challenges with that. Sounds like you have a pretty amazing board, which is great. But yeah, like, I'm curious to hear if you've had any challenges with that and if there's anything you do to keep your board really engaged on an ongoing basis.
I mean, I think that honestly, a disengaged board, to be honest, what we found for us at least is a one that is uninformed and that there's not meaningful communication frequently. And also, I think too, what you said about board expectations is part of the processes is that we had our bylaws, but we actually never even had kind of like a board expectation document, sort of really what we were expecting of our board. And that is one of the things in last year that we implemented as well. And so we also have two other boards, not only just our kind of board of directors, but we have a parent advisory board and a scientific advisory board. And what we found as well too is that it is our job as well to figure out, even though on paper they may be good at X, you know, what really are they motivated by? What excites them? Because even though I may have brought someone on for the accounting piece, like and kind of help with that, they might actually have another strength as well that we're not tapping into. And so it was really kind of figuring out everyone's strengths as well.
Which is amazing, I think. Yeah, getting to know, not just what's your professional area of expertise, but what are you really excited about? What, do you want to spend your time doing? And if you can meet people there, the motivation is already intrinsic. So you're not having to do that convincing of like, please, please help us with this.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. I want to give you a chance, before we wrap this, to just sort of address if there's any other lessons you've learned along the way that you think other nonprofit leaders would benefit from. Whether it's, mistakes you've made, things, successes you've had, anything you think would help people who are in your shoes or similar shoes.
You know, I think I don't know. I've never started a nonprofit that wasn't kind of rare based, if that makes sense. So rare disease. I think those in the rare disease space, in many ways, I think we're all guilty of that. We are going to start an organization and find one treatment and one cure, and we're going to close our doors and we're going to be done. And so there isn't a lot of potentially long-term planning or even succession planning within an organization. And you know, I had someone tell me once that Parkinson's has 17 treatments and they are still going strong. And so these organizations are now going to be here much longer than we ever anticipated. And so obviously, I don't think anyone would start the organization if they actually thought that at first, because the thinking long term at the beginning would be daunting. But I think at a certain point in the organization, starting to think about taking a minute to think about those things, because I think without planning and without movement within your board, within the people that are running your organization, that there's a lack of real growth and innovation, to be honest. And it's important to make room for that.
That's great. And yeah, I think I'm sure, especially when you're starting out, you're just thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow or maybe next week, but thinking about what you're going to do 10, 20, 30 years down the road, I'm sure is not on your radar. And probably to your point, probably for good reason. One step at a time. But yeah, that long-term succession planning and thinking about, even just having longer term goals, which I think is amazing that you have been able to get to this point where you're like, okay, no, we're not trying to, exist next week. We're trying to exist way down the road, I think is a huge testament to your success. All right. Well, thank you for sharing your time with us today, your insights. I have no doubt that your experience is going to be helpful for other people who are also in this process. We really appreciate you giving us your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, as you know, I'm a huge ambassador of surfboard. I think it's my favorite product of 2023. that I came across. I know that it can be scary to spend money, if that makes sense, as a startup and or as a nonprofit, right? You just want to spend it towards your cause. But investing in your board is worth it to help make your goals come to fruition even quicker and faster.
Well, we love to hear it. We love to hear that you're so happy with it, and hopefully, other people will try it for themselves and have similar results. But yeah, we're great that it's helping you accomplish your goals with hopefully a little bit less frustration and effort on your day-to-day plate.
It absolutely is. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. This has been fantastic.